Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar, hanging out at the Ryman Auditorium with Whitey Morgan. Whitey, how you doing?
Great, man. Great.
Thank you so much. I believe this is your first time playing here, or first time headlining?
It is, man. Been wanting to play this place for as long as I can remember.
Well, welcome to the Mother Church.
Yeah, man. It's good to be here.
Cool. Enough of the formalities. Let's dive into guitar talk, man.
Let's talk some guitars.
I want to dive into the first one that I've always associated with you is with your initials on it. What Telecaster is that? And talk to me about how you kind of got that to be your number one.
This thing started out, it was a black and white single bound Tele. I probably bought this maybe 15 years ago.
Damn.
And I got over the black and white real quick. And I wanted a tobacco burst, which has always been my favorite. And I just took it apart, sanded it down, and I used to do custom paint cars and stuff. So it was pretty easy. I just put a little fade on that thing and did a little pinstriping on there, which kind of turned out shitty, but it looks pretty cool. This is about the fourth neck that's been on it, because I used to like the vintage style net frets,
okay,
but they just would wear so quick. I mean, we were playing 300 days a year, and so I went with stainless, and this neck's been on here for probably 4 years now.
All the four necks that you've gone through, have they always been maple necks, maple boards?
Yeah, I'm not much of a rosewood guy. I like the pop of the, you know, the maple. But it's a Fender body. This is a Warmouth neck on it.
And I saw online a lot of people are asking about tone and stuff, and like if you're willing to change out pickups, and it looks like you got some Seymour Duncans in there. Is that something you've had for a while, or is that something you just got put in there?
These, actually, a guy up in Michigan wound these for me.
All right.
I can't even remember his name. It's been at least 4 years. But what's cool is, it's like a standard hot rail, but it's got the push-pull for the, if you want the single coil sound.
Cool.
Which I find myself leaving it on the humbucker almost all the time.
Get it cooking.
Yeah, it just got more body, especially like on these bigger theater stages where you just want it to fill up a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it hasn't been messed with in a while, but I'm always up for changing stuff out. I'm pretty fickle. I got a lot of different amps. I switch out guitars a lot. But this thing's been the mainstay, I guess, for a lot of 15 years now. This thing.
And what's behind the headstock there? And it looks on the IE.
That's just it's a banjo tuner.
Ah.
Just kind of stole that from Waylon.
Yeah.
We got a lot of songs that are in drop D, and it's just easy. It's got the two locking nuts there, and it's actually a Bill Keith. Schaller makes one, but this Bill Keith one has stood up for the probably 6 or 7 years now. The Schallers, I went through like three of them in probably
just bust them
in
off.
5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I finally paid the big bucks for this one, and it's stood the test of time. It works great. Takes a little getting used to. A lot of my guys that have tried to tune it, they're like, I think they can't, because it's super, the ratio. I mean, you barely turn
really
it,
finicky.
It's you got to really have the touch. But once you get used to it, man, I love it, and it's just the ease of being able to, in the middle of the show, just boom.
Right down.
Yeah, and it looks cooler than that big old stupid, what do they call
detuner.
Those things?
Yeah,
It's just, I don't know, not my style.
And what strings do you run, gauge and brand?
On this guitar, these are just regular Ernie Ball 11s.
Okay.
Nothing special about it, just for the number one, cause for all the regular tune stuff. I've got some other ones that are drop tuned with the big fat strings on them.
How did you get into the Telecaster world? Obviously associated with, you already alluded to, Waylon and any of the other country pickers, but what, aside from being a country instrument, what got you into the Telecaster world and keeps you there?
It was probably like that. Like I said, Waylon, and I was playing acoustic for a while. I mean, I'd always played electric, but when I started doing the country thing, I started out doing it acoustically, and I just found myself wanting to play more and to do more on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the acoustic just never really cut through. It never just had the balls.
Yeah.
And I was like, I come from a rock and roll background, so eventually I just grabbed the Tele. And the Tele, it's the workhorse, man.
Yeah.
You can take it on the road. This case can get 105 degrees, and you pull them out, and they might not be perfect, but you can make slight adjustments, and they'll be right back to where they were.
Now,
if this thing was full of Les Pauls or, one-piece guitars, you're in fucking nightmare land all day long. This thing, I actually, This neck got put on after a sound check. We were playing an arena show, opening for Bob Seger, and the frets on my old one were so bad, I was so sick of just listening to it all night. It just, the intonation was terrible.
Yeah.
I had this neck, it got shipped, and I was gonna wait till the next day when we had a day off to swap it.
Have some time.
I had a guitar tech buddy of mine from Elderly Instruments in Lansing, Michigan. And he did the neck switch over from between sound check and our set, which was only like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And he goes in there, swaps it out. It's played great ever since. It's crazy. The Bob Seger's guitar techs were like, he's gonna do what? He's gonna on your number one telly, he's gonna swap that neck out between in an hour and a half. I'm like, yeah, well, this guy's good, man. You know.
You'll see.
But yeah, it's been a great guitar. It's taken some tumbles. Joey's missed it a couple of times when I've thrown it to him. But that's the great thing. Neck fucks up, you just put a new one on it.
I mean, there's a reason they haven't really changed too much on it in 60 plus years.
Yeah. Like I said, man, that's the workhorse right there.
Cool, let's start going down the line.
All right. So that's the main one. I don't really get into the other guitars too much. I've got one that's tuned to C sharp that I use for one song.
What song's that?
Waiting Around to Die.
Oh. It's,
usually at the end of the night, it's because it's tuned to C sharp, and I play the little acoustic part, but I play it on that because to have an acoustic guitar drop to C sharp on stage would be a nightmare to keep.
I was going to ask about that solo in that song because I didn't know if it was like a Nashville tuning or like a mandolin.
Well, no,
it was like really
piercing. That's Joey on he's playing like a gut string or
okay.
a nylon string.
Yeah,
I think
it's
it
really
was.
Identifiable.
I'm not sure
or at least...
which we used in the studio there, but yeah.
Cool.
Oh yeah, that solo's killer. He killed that thing. So this one is gonna turn into number two. Fender just sent me this. This Oof. Is one of their the American Original series. It's a 62 reissue. I'm looking forward to playing this. I had this set up with like the big beefy strings on it. The whole guitar's dropped to D so that when I need to I can drop it to C.
Yeah.
I got a couple of songs on the new record where it's real some low twangy stuff and so this will end up being number two. There's like four or five songs that'll end up being played with this one, which I'm looking forward to. This thing is almost too shiny, but
I'm sure he'll throw it a couple times.
Double bound, I mean, this thing's bitching.
Do you like the limited time you've had so far? Do you like the Rosewood fretboard?
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is the songs that I'm gonna use it on, though they make sense for that.
Okay.
But like, that guy needs to be on the other songs.
But yeah.
But it's, you try to figure it out, man.
try to find a spot for every one
exactly.
of them.
This one started out, this is a 74 custom. Oof. I got this at Carter actually about a year ago right here in Nashville. I played it like three times on stage and I like it, but it's these pickups are just a little too, I wouldn't say muddy, just a little too dark.
Yeah.
And the songs that I was wanting to use it for, I needed that bright, I needed more of a bright pop and I'm not going to mess with this thing. So it just sits in here. I literally hasn't, this is probably the first time it's been touched in 6 months.
Well, made some camera time.
But I also was just talking to one of the openers. He might take it off my hands. He's a good guy. I'll give him a good deal on it.
Fair enough.
But yeah, but I mean, it's sweet. I just, you know, when you start having so many of them, I want them to get played.
Yeah.
If it's meant to be played. I have guitars that sit at home. I wish I had time to even put them up and sell them to people or whatever, just because guitars need to be played. They're not meant to sit in the closet. You know, some of them are.
They're tools.
But something like that thing's seen some wear and tear, and it needs to see some more.
Before, people will always ask, so I'm glad I'm thinking this, is the strap. Where did you get that strap? I'm assuming custom made. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Man, what is the guy's name that made that for me? Cody Hickson made that for me. It's been a few years, maybe 4 or 5 years since he made that. He made... that one for me, and I had one made for a buddy that he did, and yeah, he does great leather work. I'm not sure where he's out of, somewhere in Tennessee. I can't remember. It's been a while since I talked to him. I need to get a couple more made because it's a pain in the ass swapping over straps for you know, every guitar. But now that I'm going to be running three or four guitars a night now, I'm definitely gonna need some more straps. But CodyHickson.com, I think, if you guys want to check him out.
Cool.
Does great work.
And is that the Gibson that you're kind of alluding to before up top here?
No, this is actually a Fender acoustic.
Ah.
My acoustic guy plays this. I found this. So when these first came out, they did a couple of years where they made these higher end Kingmans. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it. I played it, like I said, when they first came out, but I never got one. And then about 6 months ago, I was having a guy fly in and fill in for a gig, just playing acoustic and singing harmonies.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, shit, man, maybe I should just get, instead of him having to fly, because I've been wanting to buy a new acoustic, maybe I'll just get something and then he can just play it and it can just live in the guitar vault, you know? And I went online and found one of these. It got a little damage to it, but these things were $1,900 when they came out.
Yeah.
And back then I was like, I can't afford that right now. This is, you know, probably 10 years ago. And I found this on reverb.com. I talked the guy down to like $450.
You're a shark.
With shipping. It's like, I'm glad I waited however long, but I mean, it's a little beat, which is cool about it. It's got some stress cracks here and there, but this thing plays. I mean, the action is so low on it. It plays almost like a Telecaster.
Dang.
And it's got the good Fishman rig inside of it. So.
Cool.
But yeah, Tony, he seems to like it. And he doesn't have to bring his guitar out anymore and get it.
Yeah.
Beat the hell. He just beats the hell out of this one.
Cuts down on his shipping costs or his...
And it looks bitching, man. Come on. The Tobacco Burst. Can't beat it.
Tobacco Burst, and of course the King played one.
Yeah.
So, is that all you got for guitars over here?
Yeah, I mean, the rest of them are just kind of...
Backups.
Backups.
Cool. All right, Whitey. Talked about guitars. Now let's talk about amps and then I guess your Minitive pedal board.
So. Yeah, my stuff's pretty simple. So... I guess my main amp that I've been using for about a year now is this Vibro King. I believe 2012 is when they reissued these. I've been wanting one for a long time. And again, it's one of those things where, you know, back then I just didn't have the money to drop, because when these came out, they were like $3,500 because it's, you know, hand wired and more of a boutique vibe, I guess.
Maine, California.
And so anyway, about a year ago, Reverb.com got on there. This dude had one of these that had been in the shop since it never been out of the shop since it was new. Hasn't sold it. I talked him down. I said, "What do you think about $1,800?" He said, "Man, you're killing me," or something. There was like some kind of quote. But he said, "I got to get this thing out of my shop. I'm sick of looking at it," you know. And $1,700. I think it might have been $18 with shipping.
I was gonna say, who paid shipping? Because last time they got the acoustic was included.
Yeah, I think it was about $18 with shipping, but it's been good. I've had some issues with it here and there. The thing I don't like about it is I'm originally a twin guy, so I like the big low end. This doesn't have it, but it's got really good, just that right amount of breakup. Mm. I love it. And the reverb channel on it's great. You can really dial it in. But lately I've been running two amps.
Okay, so like a stereo thing?
Yeah, this is kind of my fail-safe. I have two of these that run in the trailer just in case twin reverbs, you know?
Yeah.
They're just the 68 reissues, but they actually sound really good. I used to run just one of these for a little while, but then I started mixing in some other stuff. And my Super over there kind of took a crap the other night. Usually I run the Super and the Vibro King together.
All right.
So broke the old twin back out. For the last couple shows, my big plan, the grand scheme of things, is I'm probably going to get another 66 Super, and I'm thinking about Eminence just come out with these. They call it the Legend. It's like a 12. It's a 200 watt 12, and I think I'm going to put 112 in each Super. That might be my new rig. I mean, every 6 months, these things are getting swapped out. I just get bored with things.
What's the allure?
Besides my one guitar, everything else I get bored with.
What's the allure of the new Eminences? What's kind of sold you? Maybe trying those?
My steel player won't shut up about them. So, I mean, I'm always for trying something. And his rig is sounding great. And I think he's running one of those in one of those cabinets. I'm thinking less speakers. More wattage is the key, because they start running too many speakers out on back of you. You got everything's phasing out. You got sound waves are fighting each other. And so I'm thinking, two 12s, one in each cab. You're talking 45 watts, I think, is what the Supers are running at. I think it'll sound great.
Killer.
And, I mean, you know, Eminence makes great shit, so I can't imagine it won't sound great. But that, as far as amps, that's about it, man.
Cool. Let's talk about pedals here. You got three.
Yeah. Again, pretty simple. The old pitch black tuner, I've been running that forever because I don't wear my glasses on stage. I can't see shit. And that thing's got the big old, it's, you know, it's like for old people. It's a tuner for old people. And then the Diamond Compressor is something that I found when I was doing this last record. We were at Sonic Ranch, and we had like a compressor shootout, and that thing won. So I ordered one like the next day for tour. And I've really been loving that.
Does that stay on to kind of get
that's
it?
On the whole time, yeah. Yep. The EP Boost, it's just a clean, obviously everybody knows what it's just a clean boost. Been working good, haven't had any problems with it. From what I can hear, it doesn't really color the tone, which is important to me. I don't need any more breakup or any of that shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are you getting the amps pretty cooking, and then that just kind of pushes you a little further?
Yeah, that's just a clean boost, and I use it just for my, I have, you know, a few leads here and there I use it on. Yeah, that's about it. The phaser.
Man, that's a secret weapon for you guys. Not a secret weapon, but I really love
that.
Oh
man, I've been,
it takes me back.
I was telling you earlier, I don't think there's a phaser they make that I haven't tried yet. That one I hadn't even heard of until, again, we're Sonic Ranch. This guy breaks it out of the gear closet. He's like, yeah, I used this a couple years ago on a record. It's great. And again, we did a shootout with a bunch of other ones, some more vintage style ones. I can't remember exactly what they were, but that Univox micro phaser is it's mellow. It just has a speed control on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's on the side there, I see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was actually really excited because I ordered a Diamond phase after I got that compressor. I'm like, oh, their shit's great. I'll just order their phaser. And it was good. It was almost too much going on for me. Like, every time I'd fuck with something, it would take it too far the other way. And I just need the speed. That's all I need.
Yeah.
It's mellow. It's kind of a darker phase. The phase 90 kind of gets a little abrasive. I used to use those forever, but the problem with those is as soon as I would hit it, it was almost like a boost.
Yeah.
It was like a boost / EQ change, and it would just, I would almost have to roll my tone knob back as soon as I would hit that phaser because it was, you know, it was like too much.
Yeah.
And I love the phase 90, but that was always the issue there, was I just felt like I was coloring the tone too much.
I mean,
this thing's been great.
I mean, I just love that those tones that you guys use, and it's so distinct too with the phase, and it just thickens
it
up.
And it looks bitching. I mean, look at that. It's like, that thing's cool as shit, man.
Yeah, man. I love the single note stuff, like on Sinner. That shit is just so lush and so just so smooth.
Oh yeah.
All right, Whitey. I'm gonna talk to the rest of the band. Thank you so much, brother.
Good luck with them.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right. Far end of the stage with Joey. Joey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Very well, dude. Appreciate you taking the time to talk tone with us. I was going to ask you off camera about this guitar, but I was like, I want to save the story. So tell me about what's going on here, because there's got to be something.
It's just like that first Tele I bought, and then just the years of the road just kind of beat it down, and the paint job kind of started flaking off. And I did the rest of the flaking of this off with my thumbnail, like over the course of like 8 months of shows, and I just kind of stopped here. Like, that's my thumbnail. Like. So I call it the two-face.
Yeah.
Or the two-tone two-face. Yeah. And it's just yellow and wood. And
how long have you had it?
Sweat stained. It's an 05.
Okay.
But it's nothing original but the wood.
Okay. Well, walk me through what's so, upgraded here.
I started playing like acoustic guitars with 61 jumbo stainless. So I really love those. So I pretty much put them on all my guitars because it just makes, you know, playability easier and
continuity.
Yeah, continuity. And you're like, you know, one day I had that epiphany of like, hey, you know what you can do with a guitar? You can make it how you want it to play, you know? Like, so I started doing that. Like, the back of the neck is all sanded down, the lacquer sanded off because it started coming off. But then I started having my guy sand the neck flatter because I like flatter necks. Mm. So to kind of contour it more how I like to play. And what's this got in it? Pickups are Texas Specials right now, Fender Custom Shops. Just a good, great pickup. And wiring's all different, but that's this one, you know.
Looks like you're in the market for a pickup selector knob.
Yeah, they never stay on, man. I've super glued them on. I just bent it up a little and it still works good. Yeah, it's great. Anyways, that's the number one. I play that on mostly all the songs until I break a string.
Speaking of strings, what strings you got?
These are GHS, like 10s. I go back and forth between Boomers and I like the Progressive. They have a Progressive brand that they make. It's like a different alloy. Mm. So, just.
What do you like about the differences? Is it more a play thing or a sound?
It's more of a sound thing. To me, the Progressive ones kind of don't have the E, the B, and the G a little less shrill to me. Mm. Like, Boomers are great. They're just, they boom. Like, they just, they're there. But those Progressive ones kind of, they taper it a little, you know.
Okay.
kind of like what a compressor does a little bit too, like takes the shrill out just enough, just a little.
Yeah.
So you're not just, anyways, that's how I feel about that.
Excellent. What do you got over here? This is another story telly.
Yeah, this is the backup telly. It's a great guitar too, but this one's nicknamed.
You told us off camera that this is flown before.
It is flown. I nicknamed this one Superman. So this was one of Whitey's backup tellies, and he gave it to me a few years ago. But won't get into the details of the show, but every now and then, you know, you're not happy. And this thing flew down a flight of stairs to a landing to fly, turn the corner after it hit, and landed between two people having a conversation. And it kind of got a little, little scar there. I called it Superman from that
day. Can we reveal who was the chucker?
Oh, Whitey. He whipped this thing. But, yeah. And then it became mine. And it's great. I love it. I said the same thing done, sanded the neck off. It's got 61 jumbo stainless on it. This is original. This is just like American Standard telly. And it's, you know, can't beat them.
Strictly backup, or is there songs you use it for?
I've played it, you know, depending on how I'm feeling. Sometimes I'll play this one, but that's my baby.
Yeah, clearly.
Might take it with me.
At least you haven't started chipping this one yet.
No, not yet. This one's staying together. So. Yeah, man.
Cool, man. Dig two it. Guitars. Dig it.
That's it.
What do you got for an amp?
Running the Dr. Z 50 watt head. It's pretty much just like a Blackface super reverb, 65-ish. And, you know, just clean power. Sounds real great. There's this is a 212 cabinet. It's got Nailer 50 watt. Speakers in it, and I've been running just one now, so it's just kind of one, you know, it rounds out the tone more.
Yeah.
And just 50 watts to one speaker, and it's been working pretty good. So cool. It's a little bit of an illusion, but hey.
Yeah. Is there a reason, and this is possibly a dumb question, but I'll ask anyway, is there any reason why you have the top one set for the speaker rather than the other one?
Yeah, it's just up higher, like you're standing here, you know, and you've got it. Yeah, it's just so it's not blowing down by your feet.
Yeah.
And with the other one on, it was just actually was strange. It was kind of just muddying it up. I've just done this recently and noticed how more focused the tone has gotten, you know. And, you know, I mean, I change this stuff not often, but, you know, it's a constant evolution of, like, being like, oh, you know what, I can do, let's try that. And I'm like, you know.
It's what keeps us in business.
Yeah, exactly.
So otherwise, we'd run out of magazines. You know. Cool,
yeah, man.
Man,
it's a good head. Sounds great.
Excellent,
playing
man.
For a while.
Pedals.
Yeah. It's not too crazy, but, I got one for looks right now. It's not plugged in. The Sonic Sound BBE, but one of my favorite pedals, not expensive. Kind of just if when I'm having trouble finding a frequency area to play in and it's like muddy stage, I plug that thing in and just kind of leave it on a low setting and it kind of just shifts you out of the way to me. And it really helps. And let's see, the Flint by Strymon, that thing you can't beat.
Yeah.
What's the tremolo and reverb? It's just killer. They just do things right. Just putting that in my signal chain has made the signal just sound better, even without it off. With it off, I put that in and I was like, wow, made a huge difference. So
do you run it, do you use both
sides? I leave the reverb on all pretty much all night. Like when we play Waiting Around to Die, it's got tremolo, the new one, Honky Tonk Hell. Let's see what else. And I turn it on and off throughout the, you know, I play a solo here and there in a slower song doing some stuff. You know, it's good for accenting. Got the tap switch, which is unplugged right now. I gotta plug it in. so you can tap it out when you need to do that.
Cool.
And yeah, man.
And
it's
you got the
carbon copy, bright, analog, digital, analog delay. I've been playing that for years. Love those things. I don't know. Just buy one.
What do you
fix your delay problems?
Do you really like
for echo
the bright versus the old carbon copy?
To me, because you could just roll the tone down a little and it gets through a little more to me. I mean, the other one's great too. I had that before and. When my buddy was like, try this one, I tried that. And I was like, yeah, it is better. You know, I was just playing around with it. Even having a, like on a neck pickup, like you just roll the, if it's too bright, just blow it down a little bit. It has like a better, like attack. And when you're, like I can feel like it translates better to me, like what you're doing here into an effect pedal, you know, when it's coming out, so.
And the Nobles, is that just kind of for solos?
Yeah, I kind of running that as a clean boost right now. It's a good pedal. I don't think it's going to stay there for much longer. I think I'm going to maybe get it like Whitey's got an EP boost over there. I love those and they're just simple, but I don't know, I like it that where I have it set right there to me is a really good. I have the level cranked and the drive turned down and you know, just kind of adds a little bit of grit. It gets to me a little too compressed up there for that, you know.
And you already got the compression going.
Right.
So.
I mean, it just starts to, you know, drive that point home a little too much. So, yeah.
And the Nobles, is that something you use, like, I really enjoy your guitar work on, like, I'm on Fire.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously it's a slower song, but the way that it really makes it musical for me as a listener is how you sustain the notes.
Yes, that's totally on.
Yeah.
Along with the compressor and the delay.
Because those notes that you, they just hang there.
They're there, man.
Yeah.
A little of this, you know. Tones in the hands, too, you know. You gotta,
for sure.
you gotta have a little of that pitch black tuner. Favorite. You can read those in the sun on a festival stage, in case you wondered. That's why I love them.
Yeah. It's all about visibility.
Yeah. I'm always like, that's the tuner. Oh, and this Noble thing, this overdrive pedal, this is the first one I've ever seen. I don't know if you can get in here. But the 9-volt goes right here if you're ever needing to put a battery in it, which is about the most brilliant thing I've ever seen on a pedal.
Yeah. Have you ever ran it with the 9-volt to see kind of sonically? Some people say they like the battery power.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. That one wasn't designed like in that time, you know, when the components inside were for the 9-volts. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this one it sounds the same to me. But like, you get one of those like old tube screamers and stuff that were designed off 9-volt circuitry, not running on power stations,
supplies,
pedal power. Yeah, so. They claim, I don't know, man. I just plug sometimes I just plug it in, turn it up, and I'm like, let's just play, you know.
It's a rock and roll band,
back
man.
I go back and forth on the, I used to have a smaller pedal board than that. I was just like two things and, you know, a tuner, and I was like, this is great. Let's press these two buttons all night. I can just play it, not worry about it.
Well, raise hell tonight, Joey.
I will, man. Appreciate
congrats
it.
Congrats on the
plan. Yeah,
Ryan,
man, thank you.
This is great.
Beautiful and a privilege and an honor to get to play here finally. And
kill it, man.
Keep it going. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you. All right, last but definitely not least, maybe potentially the most important guy in the country band, Brett. Brett, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Very well.
Good to be here.
I'm very glad that we're able to do this. You know, another fellow host, John Bollinger, plays pedal steel.
Yeah.
So we don't get to feature many of these on camera. So talk to me about this beautiful instrument you got here and how you kind of developed yourself as a steel player, because, you know, it's not maybe a thing that a teenager gravitates towards.
Right. I was in my early 20s and I was playing guitar in a country band, you know, playing Merle Haggard and Waylon, mm-hmm. and it didn't take me long to realize that what really drew me to that stuff, especially like the live Waylon album, was the steel guitar.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a steel guitar player, so I ended up finding a little Showbud single neck guitar on consignment, and I met Whitey within that year and joined his band.
Yeah, so, you've been the 78s for a while.
Yeah, so most of my 10 years playing steel have been on the road with him full time. So it's just been kind of right into the fire.
Yeah, you know, right?
Yeah.
And so how did you get this masterpiece?
Well, over the course of all that time, my gear has slowly gotten better and better like it does, you know?
Just like yourself at playing.
I got this, yeah, exactly, you know? I got this a couple years ago. This is a Show Pro steel guitar they're still built in Mount Juliet by a fellow named Jeff Surratt.
Oh, wow. Just down the road.
Yep, and it's the finest guitar I've ever touched, so it's great. It's got Bill Lawrence 705 pickups in it, 9 pedals and 6 knee levers. And,
dang.
But yeah, it's my favorite guitar I've touched. So,
is there a lot of maintenance to this from night to night or day to day in terms of, you know, setting it up, tuning it, keep everything working, the levers and stuff?
Especially when I was playing older guitars, you know, because like Showbuds and these classic vintage guitars, you know, you really have to be a mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, it's like learning to play guitar, but also learning to be a guitar tech at the same time.
Yeah.
Just out of necessity to keep the machine working, you know. But this guitar gives me no trouble. You know, it's really easy to keep lubed and cleaned. And,
cool.
Other than Whitey rocking out and, you know, sweating on an end of it sometimes or something, it's safe,
like,
in the case somewhere. You know?
when he's orchestrating the solo tosses between you and Joey, I love that. He's kind of like the ringleader.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of all just comes about live. You know,
it's rock and roll.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then so behind, oh, I'm sorry, strings. What do you use for strings?
I love these D'Addario NYXLs that they've been making. I use the lighter gauge of them, which has an 11 gauge third string here. But they last better than than everything I'm really lazy about changing my strings. It's a I don't know, it's really a pain
it
to me.
It looks like a daunting task.
Some guys are really, you know, just every day they change their strings, but I'm bad about it, so I need a string that I can get away with a little more, you know? And those seem to last the longest for me and sound great, so.
Cool, and then I kind of overlooked it with the other guys, but this is really important to you is the picks and the bar you're using.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've ever used a Fred Kelly thumb picks. They're real comfortable. I'm not even sure what these are. This is a BJS bar, which is a great chromed, polished chromed bar.
Which have you messed around with a bunch of that?
With a bunch of what?
A bunch of like different bars, or like in terms of like, materials and stuff.
You know, it's like anything. You know, it's bar pressure is important to tone and intonation, and everyone's hands are different. So I'm comfortable with this one. It's a 12 string bar. It's a little. Also, I got long hands, so you know you really want your bar to kind of land in the. And the crook right there, you know?
Kind of like the pocket.
Yeah, and it gives you a little spot. And the normal 10-string bars just made my hands hurt, you know?
Yeah.
And once I actually, from a Paul Franklin video, he was like explaining how he measures, you know, that for a student. And I was like,
he's the master.
Well, there you go. You know, I wish I'd known that when I started playing. But there you go. That's why a good teacher is important, I guess.
Yeah. Well, before we move on to the amp and your effect box back behind
here,
can we just hear some of the sweet music?
Yeah. Yeah.
My grandpa will be very proud that I'm standing here next to a steel player doing my job. This is amazing. So thank you.
Yeah,
Little
man.
Walter, man. That's another local company, or at least to Tennessee.
They're built in North Carolina by a sweetheart of a fellow, Phil Bradbury.
That's right. I get them associated just because of Vince Gill uses them.
Yeah, and Paul Franklin.
Yeah.
And this is actually, I just got this amp a few weeks ago. I've always wanted to own one of Phil's amps. And this is Paul's new, it's the 89. It's 100 watts, four 6L6s. The thing I really love about this amp is that the EQ section's all passive. So, you know, wide open, it's just my guitar.
Yeah.
And then these just function as cuts, you know, just kind of dial back that tone a little bit. So it, you know, Phil's philosophy of not adding anything to your sound, you know. So it's the loudest, cleanest platform I've found to play steel with, which is the most important thing,
you know? And 12s or 15s?
Actually, one of them is, I don't know which one. One is Paul Franklin's 350-watt PF350 12.
That's some headroom.
And it's a tank, you know, and it won't get shrill. You know, it won't get brittle, which is amazing for steel guitar.
Yeah.
And the other one is Paul's new 15. It's a 400-watt 15 version that complements that 12 really nice. So, and it's not, I don't know when it comes out. That's one of... Eminence sent me that one, but they sound great together.
Yeah, really. Whitey was saying you're a big fan of the Eminence.
Yeah, they're the best, you know. I mean, they're made right up the road in Kentucky, you know. I think the whole town of Eminence, Kentucky works at the factory
pretty much.
That's cool.
You know? It's kind of like with Jack Daniels and everyone there, Lynchburg.
Yeah. And most importantly, they sound better than, you know, anything I've used, so.
And last but not least is your effects box up there.
Yeah, and this is another Paul Franklin feature here. His the Paul Franklin Steel Dream that Sage Benedo builds in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. And it's just an overdrive, a delay, and a reverb, a spring-style reverb. And I use it pretty much as an always-on sound, you know. I go from anywhere from, you know, what you heard, that kind of... to maybe simply turning up the spring effect.
And now during the show, is this where that's parked at? Is behind
you?
So you're making the adjustments behind you.
And honestly, it works out great with the set because, you know, it's our encore song is really one that I lay on some reverb with. So it doesn't mess me up at all. But but just with a little bit more, you know. Yeah, a little sweeter.
Yeah. But, just hangs there a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And the drive, I imagine that's just there for kind of a dirtier song.
You know, it just depends. I don't use it much with Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a ZZ Top song on the new record, so I'll be using it. But I love it also because it can, I don't really have it dialed in right now, but it'll give me a little bit, like if I wanted this thing to sound more like a deluxe,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of take a little bit more of that headroom out, it's this Sage's NutriDrive is a really nice kind of subtle overdrive and clean boost kind of, cool. You know, it's really good.
And what song is on the new record by ZZ Top?
Just Got Paid.
That's what I was just going to ask,
yeah,
which is a great groove.
It's great. It's a little sledgier. It's greasy. It's good.
I like greasy.
And the other thing I'd tell you, I'd love to tell you about is this.
That's
and I mean,
real
really
crucial.
The first thing that, you know, happens is this volume pedal. And Dave Beatty out in Arizona is building these Telonix pedals, and he started out in the 60s. I think he like invented geo-tracking for wildlife.
So a smart dude.
So he's got all these engineers in his company now, and they find out a few of them are musicians. And anyways, they all set about out of their own interest in music to tackle fidelity in a real way in the volume pedal. And this thing, it's got 9 different tapers. You know, you can pick from, you know, Goodrich pot pedals, different pots, you know, and it's all programmed in there. It's really
super versatile.
Yeah. What? And none of this would sound that good if, you know, something less quality was right there, so.
Brett, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm going to have you take us out. I'm going to give us an outro. I'm going to have you play us out real quick.
Yeah.
Your guitar rig rundown. Check out Whitey's new album in October, Hard Times and White Lines. Take away, Brett.
Everybody, thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers, see you soon.